from the island of Corfu and brought to you on Amazing Affiliates, Back Sports Channels, Talk Superstation, Cosmic Radio, Armed Forces Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and BaseballPodcast.net. This is The Phil Nason Show.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Welcome to The Phil Nason Show, the international sports show with the local sports radio flavor. I'm Phil Nason, and I'm the host of this daily sports show, and I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to listen from wherever you are. We've got an amazing show for you today. Aaron Stampler will be here later on to preview six NBA games that are happening on Wednesday night. But up first, from WelcomeToLoudCity.com, please welcome my friend and their lead writer, Mr. Zeb Benbrook, to the show. Zeb, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's a great day here in Oklahoma City, and I'm ready to talk some basketball.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of hoops tonight. We've had some issues with the internet, so just bear with us, folks. We're going to get through this nice and pretty. That I can promise you. Anyhow, big ball game tonight for you folks who are Oklahoma City Thunder fans. You travel to L.A. Zeb will not make the trip. The trains suck in America, and he's not going to be able to get there. So he's going to have to watch this game on TV like the rest of you, unless you live in L.A. or are seriously wealthy. What do you like about this matchup between the Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder?
What I like about this matchup is that the Clippers will be heading into this game a lot more ragged. So the Thunder will have a lot more of a chance because the Clippers have played two more games. They played two back-to-backs and they've played five of their eight games on the road, so they're going to be a little bit tired. And what I also like about the Clippers is that they have a terrible interior defense, and they can't really stop any big that creates his own shot. That was evidenced by their game against Minnesota last night, where Pekovic and Love had just absolutely monster games. And that's not really a problem with Oklahoma City, but the Clippers haven't really been able to stop Durant or Westbrook either. And Chris Paul has always struggled against Oklahoma City, always struggled against Russell Westbrook. So OKC has the definite advantage there. So if the Clippers want to win, I think they need to force Oklahoma City into some half-court ball, because it's the only way that their defense can become a factor. Because when it gets into an open-court game, Oklahoma City is the best team in the league, besides maybe the Heat. So that's what they got to do. And the Clippers' bench is really weak, and they refuse to play any bigs. So they're going to have to limit the minutes of their bench, and they're going to have to keep running their starters ragged. So I think that the Thunder have the definite advantage here, just because they're more well-rested, and they've had the historical advantage. I think they won against the Clippers three times last season, so going with them in this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know something with the Clippers is when you say they don't have any bigs, they refuse to play their bigs off the bench, they don't have any. They have Byron Mullins, and that's it. Oh, and Ryan Hollins. But, yeah, that ought to be interesting, this matchup. Chris Paul, I don't know what it is, but there are times when he has these big confrontations that he just goes away. And that's something that I've always been cognizant of and I've understood. I don't know why that is. But goodness gracious, this is a really good basketball team, though, too. You know, J.J. Redick is having a really nice year. Blake Griffin is, too. But they're no match offensively for the Oklahoma City Thunder, are they?
Well, offensively, they're a match. I mean, the problem is that they're not a match defensively, because, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the league when it comes to offense. They've got a huge amount of firepower. They've got a whole lot of talent in that area. But defensively, they just don't coalesce very well. I mean, Griffin and Jordan don't really go off their man. They can't really stop anybody that has a back-to-the-basket game. So they're really just going to have to find a defensive stopper. And I don't know if Matt Barnes is going to be good to go for tonight's game, but if he is, then he would be an ideal option to stop Durant. But, I mean, when you just don't have any real option to stop either of the team's two superstars and you have a defensive weakness in an area that the Thunder might be able to capitalize on top of that, I mean, I just don't see them, you know, winning this game unless they just shoot lights out, which they've done before. They did it two seasons ago, so it could happen. But, I mean, other than that, I think the Clippers are going to lose.
Yeah, but this is a different team than it was two seasons ago. You know, the one edge I'll give the Clippers is their bench. Their bench is better than the Oklahoma City
No
Thunder.
way, no way, no
No?
way. No, their bench is way worse. I mean, because they don't have any bigs to come off the bench. The Thunder have a whole bunch of young talent who's been able to, come off the bench. I mean, we play 11 guys. We've had young talent that's been able to come off the bench and kind of start something. I mean, Perry Jones will have a good game here. Jeremy Lamb will have a good game here. Steven Adams will have a good game here. So there's always someone there to step up, which I can't necessarily say about the Clippers bench. I
Outside
mean,
of
there's
Jamal
Jamal Crawford.
Crawford, right?
Yeah, outside of Jamal Crawford, right.
And if Matt Barnes is healthy, he'll be all right too off that bench. I still like their bench a little more. I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree. But you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder winning tonight, right?
Of course, yeah.
Of course you do. Yeah. And I have the Oklahoma City Thunder winning also. So there you go. Look at that. We're on the same page there. Now, well, this is another interesting game. Toronto. Memphis. This ought to be really interesting because you have the return of Rudy Gay. What do you like about this game, Zeb?
I mean, it's interesting that it's good that Rudy Gay is coming back, but I don't really have a lot of excitement around Toronto. I think that they've only beaten weak opponents so far. I mean, they had a good run towards the end of last season when they got rid of Andrea Bargnani, and I mean, not got rid of him, but just kind of buried him on the bench and just kind of went with their players. But I think the huge problem for Toronto is that DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay play without each other. So you've got two separate offensive options that are really good, but they don't really work off each other like a Durant or Westbrook would. That really allows them to utilize each other in offensive sets and thrive, you know? But and they're a young team that tends to fade late. They've got a weak bench. And against Memphis, I think they're going to have a lot of problems because they usually go small. And Memphis, of course, has the tandem of Randolph and Gasol in the paint, who's just as good as ever. And But what's interesting about the Raptors is that they're really good offensive. They're like the best offensive rebounding team in the NBA and the best team at getting to the free throw line in the NBA. So those two factors could swing the game in their favor, but ultimately, even though the Grizzlies have struggled, they're still the same team that we've always seen. I think they're going to get it together tonight, and they've just got the advantage down low. So I think they'll beat Toronto in that area, and I'll predict them to win.
Plus they can bring in guys like Kosta Koufos, and they can bring in guys like Ed Davis and cause them nothing but hurt for 48 minutes. If you want to go inside with the Grizzlies, you're going to be in trouble. Although the Grizzlies' interior defense is not what it was last year yet, they're still a really good team. Mike Conley is just better than ever. I think that also. I would have to say Zach Randolph is starting to come out of his funk or whatever. Maybe it's the birth of his kid. I don't know what it is, but he's starting to turn it on. Tony Allen's Tony Allen and Marcus Gasol's Marcus Gasol. The addition of Mike Miller, okay, he hasn't done a lot yet. He's played a lot of minutes. He's playing like, what, almost 25 minutes a game. But that's still a very good addition to that basketball team. I have to agree with you. I think that Memphis should beat Toronto. I look for Mr. Gay to have himself a lot of fun down there, though, because there are folks out there that just despise him. And I guess it is what it is. It's all part of the game of basketball, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know why you despise Rudy Gay.
I think it has something to do with the fact that he refused to wear his contacts and he wasn't much of a team player and a whole bunch of other things, really. And he had some disparaging things to say when he left. So, well, that's never a wise move either. Ask Ray Allen about that. And
Yeah, yeah.
if you read my blog on Tuesday, Ray got a piece of my mind. Judas Shuttlesworth is not one of my favorite people. But anyway, I'm going to go with Memphis and I'm going to agree with you. We're 2-2, 2 out of 2 in the agreement category. My friend, that's usually what happens, though, isn't it? But now here's the game that's going to be interesting to me. Utah will play against the Pelicans of New Orleans in Utah. One time, that used to be one of the toughest places to play on the road, but goodness gracious. Lately, it hasn't been a friendly confines for Utah. What do you like about this game?
Well, Well, I don't know. I mean, I definitely will not actually be watching this game simply because the Jazz are 0-8, and that's a really bad way to start off a basketball season. They don't have any offense going at all. They don't have a point guard to go to. They waived Jamal Tinsley, so basically they've got John Lucas III and Gordon Hayward basically running their point. They got, unsurprisingly, they have a huge amount of turnovers. And besides that, they have absolutely no game from three. The only person who's shooting above 30% from that area is Marvin Williams, which is just unfathomable if you're going to have a successful basketball team. So, I mean, no matter what New Orleans really does, I just don't see the Jazz winning this game. But in any case, I mean, they've got a ton of talent, but they haven't succeeded too much so far because they're just so young. And they also struggle from three, so I think this is going to be kind of like a pre-1970s NBA game in the fact that you won't see a lot of those shots hit. And Tyreek Evans is likely going to be out for that game, so that'll be a negative factor in their favor. But regardless, I mean, you know, you just got to go with the team that's won instead of the team that hasn't won, so I'm going with New Orleans.
Gotcha. You know what? Gordon Hayward is shooting 30% from three. He's doing all right. They are young, and they're having their struggles, but they have the good little team down there. Once they get her going, you know, that's it. Alec Burks, young guy. Derek Favors, young guy. Enes Kanter, young guy. Gordon Hayward, young guy. Okay, Richard Jefferson, not so young. John Lucas III, forget about him. But, yeah, it kind of freaked me out that they waived Jamal Tinsley. But it is what it is. They're getting ready for Trey Burke to come back, or Trey Burks to come back. So they're just opening up a spot for him in the rotation, and Jamal Tinsley just wasn't what they wanted. But the New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis, has really come out there and taken care of business. He's playing really well. He leads the Pelicans just straight across the board and everything but assists. What do you think of Davis so far this year? Has he exceeded your expectations? Because he certainly has mine.
No, absolutely. I mean, if he was a true rookie, this is his proper rookie season for all intents and purposes. But if he was a true rookie, I mean, he would be the leading candidate for rookie of the year, in my opinion, even over Michael Carter Williams. He's been a lot more consistent. He knows how to play within himself. He knows his game. He's just been effective in every statistical category. The only place that he could really use up any upping is assists. I mean, I think that he's a prime candidate to be one of those 5x5 guys. And but I'm talking like Dikembe Mutombo or Hakeem Olajuwon 5x5s, not like Andre Kirilenko 5x5s. And you don't know what a 5x5 is. That's like 5 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks, something like that. I don't know the whole details about it. But he just fills every statistical category. He's so athletic. He knows how to play within himself. And I think that he's been the main bright spot for New Orleans so far. And when you have a franchise big man like that, there's no way that you can continue losing for too long.
Yeah, Tyreek Evans has been a disappointment. He's not used to coming off the bench. He doesn't want to come off the bench there either. Now he's hurt. Jrue Holiday's played okay, and so has Eric Gordon. But, yeah, Unibrow has definitely got her done. You know, I have to take my mouth off that kid because, you know, I used to call him Cottonelle, right?
No, I didn't know that.
No, that was my nickname for him last year, Cottonelle, because he was soft like Cottonelle.
Well, I mean, he's averaging four blocks to lead the league this season. So
far. Let's see if he stays healthy, and that's my issue here. I don't think he's going to – you know, I think he's kind of soft. But this Pelican team is interesting. There's no doubt about it. Al-Farouq Aminu, he's playing pretty well too. You know, they got the makings for some interesting things down there in Gumbo Land. We'll have to see what happens, though, with them. But I'm going to pull for the upset this week, just like I did last week with Brooklyn. Or, I'm sorry, the New Jersey Nets. I'm going to say Utah wins this game, Seb. I think Utah's got to – they can't go 0-10, man. They're going to beat the Pelicans in front of their home crowd. Because it might be a long while before they win another one at home.
Well, you know, you got to go with gut feelings sometimes, but I just don't see any statistical or reason I've seen so far that they would win. But, you know, you could totally be right.
And I could be totally wrong. And it wouldn't be the first time either. But it's all good. That's why we have this show, to have some fun. I'll tell you, Yeah, absolutely. You're right. And we always have fun. Whether you're in Europe or in America, we always have fun together, don't we?
Yeah, and I hope it'll continue when I someday live on Antarctica.
When you live on Antarctica, I'm going to be back in Vegas, dude. And I'll just call you from the casino.
And I'll call you from my research station, and we can have a good discussion about weather patterns and betting odds.
And weather patterns, I'm a tennis pro, so I have an idea what happens with the weather. Because
That'd be a great show.
that would be an interesting show. But anyway, we got to keep this thing moving here. We've got a couple more games to cover. This one ought to be really good, dude. I'll tell you something. The Philadelphia 76ers are on my radar, and Houston's traveling to Philly. I like the 76ers team. What do you like about the 76ers?
Well, the 76ers, I think that they're a really inconsistent team. I mean, I think that their fortunes just kind of rest on Michael Carter Williams. I mean, people are saying he's this generation's coming of Magic Johnson, probably the biggest, most successful point guard we've seen in a long time. And he's been, probably the most impressive rookie so far. I mean, I said Anthony Davis was better, but Anthony Davis is in his second year. But just the team just they vary widely from night to night, and it's hard to say how well they'll do. But I think that Houston is going to come out on top here. I mean, I know I'm picking the favorites every time, but Houston kind of suffers from some problems in terms of injuries. They've had Beverly out. Harden's been kind of hurt. Harden's been playing really terrible defense. But I think the main thing they needed to stop doing is playing Omer Asik and Dwight Howard together. If you look at the NBA stats page, if you look at the best and worst lineups for each team, Omer Asik and Dwight Howard have some of the worst both times that they're together in the main lineups the Rockets have. They're really terrible when they're both on the floor. They're just too slow. They need to run it. They need to have a lean lineup that can go up and down the floor consistently. So I think that they really just need to trade Omer Asik for a quality wing. But in any case, in this game, their bench is going to be a weakness. Their defense is going to be a problem. But Philadelphia's just been kind of tanking the past few games. But once they got over that early excitement, they've just kind of fallen apart. And I think that Houston's going to win this one.
I like Philadelphia. Houston, half of those guys are sick too. They've been hit with the flu bug, and to me, that's just an interesting thing. I like Philadelphia. You know what I like? As you probably already know, I'm a big fan of the underdog. I'm a big Evan Turner fan. He is just lighting it up for Philly. Michael Carter Williams is okay. He's starting to drift off a bit. I think reality is starting to set in. But he's still a great player. He is a great rookie. Right now, if the vote was up to me, I'd give it to him, Rookie of the Year. Spencer Hawes has really come into his own thus far this season. He's done well. He's their second most productive player if you go by the per stats. I like this team, man. I like them at home. I'm not a big fan of the beard and the weird. I think I'm going to go with the Philadelphia 76ers here, dude.
Well, it wouldn't be the first upset they had.
And it won't be the last, I'm sure. I just like to see this. I'm not a fan of Houston at all, so this ought to be good. I hope Philly just cracks them, and I think they're going to. I like that matchup. I'll tell you the other one that's going to be just interesting. If you like just games that really just seem like they're meaningless, Charlotte travels to Boston to play against the Boston Celtics. What is there to like about this basketball game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, both of these teams are clearly on the way out to the lottery. I think that there's been some kind of weird scheduling going on with the NBA where you've got Eastern and Western Conference teams have been kind of playing each other in the bad circle. I mean, you've just had bad teams playing bad teams. So that's allowed these guys to kind of get out around 500 and think, oh, hey, we might have a shot at, getting to the playoffs this year. But, I mean, the coach of the Celtics, I mean, what you have to like about them is the guy who came out of Butler. I totally forgot his name, but he's really been able to get the best out of his players. In one of the recent games, Avery Bradley had his best game in 2 years. And he's had Jordan Crawford working as a point guard, which is, kind of really surprising. So there's a lot of interesting things going on down there. But they've had one of the weakest schedules in the league, so I don't really see them as that great of a team. Charlotte, on the other hand, I mean, they're a mess as always. They've got no clear leader. They score by committee. And everyone's shooting under 40%. They're kind of an ugly team. They're defensively focused. But, I mean, if they're going to win, I think that Al Jefferson has to step up. He's recently come back from injury. He's been in the past two games, but he's shot under 40%. He hasn't really contributed to the team that well. So I think that he's just kind of the X factor here, because if he performs well, he can maybe push the Bobcats over the top and they can be a playoff team. But if he doesn't perform well, then they don't really have the talent to beat such a well-coached and well-rehearsed team as the Celtics.
Yeah, the name you're looking for is Brad Stevens.
He's
the coach of the Celtics. I like Jeff Green, your former Oklahoma City Thunder product. Kelly Olynyk, he's starting to get in there a little more. He started the last two games, and he's starting to get his points up and his rebounds up. He's a leading rebounder on the basketball team, and he's only averaging 22 minutes a game. Tells you something about where Boston's at. Jordan Crawford, that was a big trade, and that was who they were really after last season was Jordan Crawford, and they got him. And that's a nice pickup for them. He's going to be some kind of player when he gets there. Brandon Bass, look for a big week out of him. But the Bobcats, man, geez. Kemba Walker, when Kemba Walker is your leading scorer, that's a team with issues. When Al Jefferson is dependent upon as much as he is, that's a team with issues. When Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who is more known for his defense, is your fourth leading scorer, your team has issues. When a kid named Bismarck Biyombo is your leading rebounder, you are a team with issues. And Boston is at home where they don't really have too many issues. They're well-loved in Boston, whether they suck or not. And I think Boston's going to crack Charlotte big time tonight. I'm going with Boston, dude.
Yeah, that's a good prediction. I mean, you know, Boston's always good at home, and Charlotte's just kind of the team with a lot of problems that they're going to continue to have. And I think that Charlotte's going to be able, over the course of this early season, to be able to win just a few games and kind of just stay around like 10-10 or something like that. I mean, I think they started off last season like 7-6, but I think that they're going to eventually at some point totally collapse. Like an injury is going to hit them, or there's going to be a locker room issue, or they're just going to start hitting a wall in terms of field goal percentage, and I think that they're just going to tank the midseason and find themselves at, like, you know, 15-35 and be, you know, like, oh, where have we been? Whereas the Celtics, I mean, they've got an outside shot of getting somewhere like the playoffs, and that'll be interesting to watch over the season for sure.
Absolutely. Now, we've got about 2 minutes left, and we've got one more game to go. Los Angeles and Denver. Now, that ought to be a very interesting game. Denver has hit the wall big time, as I tried to tell people. They're not as good as advertised, but nobody seemed to want to listen. They are at home tonight with L.A. Who do you like in this game?
It's hard to say because you got both teams who are have struggled so far this season. And Denver... Ugh, I didn't prepare for this game. He just added this in at the last second. It's totally behind the curtain here. But in any case, you know, I've seen both of these teams play this season. I think LA hasn't looked very impressive outside of that first game. Their bench hasn't been able to produce very well. Where, you know, they haven't been able to score. Their bench has been okay. Their starters haven't been that good. And on the other end, I think that Denver is way too reliant on Ty Lawson. They've got a whole bunch of players, but nobody's really been able to step up and be that second scorer for them. So I don't know. I mean, I'll just go with Denver just because I think that the Lakers' starting lineup is so weak. Gasol and Nash have been totally unimpressive. But that's what I think.
Anyway, all I wanted to know is who you thought was going to win, because I knew that we had to throw that in at the last, because that was my fault. I sent you the wrong game in the preparation. Which I never make that mistake, do I? Usually, never. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Denver sucks, and so does the Los Angeles Lakers. There's no question about that. They're both awful, and it's really sad to see that Denver has hit this wall, but I like Randy Foy. He's an interesting player. Ty Lawson's Ty Lawson. Andre Miller's timeless, ageless. Kenneth Faried, I don't know what in the heck Brian Shaw's doing with that kid. He needs to play the manimal a bit more. L.A., sheesh. When Jody Meeks is your leading scorer, you're in trouble. Paul Gasol, he doesn't even look happy. He's hoping they trade him. Nick Young needs a haircut. Steve Blake needs to grow some hair, but he's a tough kid. He's a Maryland kid, so we got to like him a little bit. Outside of that, I'll tell you what, I'll go with Denver tonight at home. Why not? Anyway, Zeb, great stuff tonight. Thanks for being on the show, dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Awesome as always.
All right, we'll see you next week. That was Zeb Benbrook, and you can find him over at WelcomeToLoudCity.com. Coming up next, Aaron Stampler from PoundingTheRock.com, and I will knock out six more games for you. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
To AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris McBrien from the Dear Mr. Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Voting is now open for the 2013 Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com. Be sure and take a minute to vote for your favorite podcast of the year, and please consider the Dear Mr. Fantasy Podcast in the sports category. On behalf of myself and the Fantasy Doctor, thanks for supporting the Dear Mr. Fantasy Podcast.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
CosmicRadio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Hi, this is Phil Nason's from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show, and joining me from PoundingTheRock.com is their lead writer and my friend, Mr. Aaron Stampler. Aaron, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here. We got a lot of basketball to talk about tonight. This has been an amazing show so far. 12 games on Wednesday, and we're going to preview every one of those today. We've already previewed six, and I suppose what we'll do is begin with the Washington Wizards and San Antonio Spurs. What is happening in San Antonio Spurland?
Well, right now everything is good. They've done something already this year that they never did last year, in that they're the present holders of the NBA regular season championship belt. I don't know if you know about this. It's a big internet thing lately where, you know, Miami obviously won the championship last year, and the first team to knock them off was the Philadelphia 76ers, and then the Warriors knocked them off, so then they have the belt, and then the Spurs knocked the Warriors off, so now the Spurs are the holders of the belt until somebody knocks them off.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But they'd rather be holding and being the defending champions than the internet belt, eh?
I would agree. I would rather have be the defending champions. But, you know, you take what you can get.
I'll tell you what. The one thing about watching Spurs games any longer, or I should say watching the Spurs when it's the opposition's feed, is you're going to see a lot of highlights from Game 6.
Yeah, that's why I try not to watch the opposition's feed if I can help it.
Yeah, well, I don't have a whole lot of choice, so I take what I can get, and I was watching that. They showed it when they played against the Knicks. But what do you like about Washington?
What I like about Washington is that I think Marcin Gortat has integrated himself into the lineup right away. He's averaging 13.5, you know, 13.5 and almost 10 rebounds, shooting 53%. So I think he's had good chemistry with the team right away. I like that John Wall is third in the league with 9.5 assists, and he's averaging 18 points, but he's shooting below 40%. And I like that the team has really boosted their offense overall. I mean, this was one of the worst offensive teams in the league last year, and now they're 10th in offensive rating. And the last thing is Bradley Beal is coming off back-to-back career highs of 29 points and 34 points, and he's shooting 48% from three. So offensively, there's a lot to like here. The problem with them is on the other end.
Yeah, you're right. And folks, we're recording this on Tuesday evening, or I should say Tuesday afternoon in America. So we don't know what would occur or has occurred when the Washington Wizards played Dallas. But yeah, Bradley Beal is just outstanding. He's somebody I tout very highly. He scored a career-high 34 against the Thunder. Even though it was overtime, he was okay. I like this Washington team a lot. They're very energetic. Their defense is their defense. You know, they're not going to be perfect. They're not supposed to be. They're very young. Gortat has, you know, initiated himself into the lineup, but Nene Hilario has played really well in the four starts that he's had. He's averaging 14 points a game. This ought to be interesting. I don't know what San Antonio is going to do with them. Obviously, they're probably going to start Gortat and Hilario side by side. What does that do for the Spurs matchups? How do you see Popovich? Who do you see him starting against Washington on Wednesday?
Well, with those two big guys, I'm guessing the Spurs will go with their regular starting lineup of Tim Duncan and Thiago Splitter. In some matchups this year, Popovich has been going with Boris Diaw instead of Splitter, like against teams that are a little smaller. But with two big guys like that, I think he'll want to stick with his best defensive lineup. So that's not really a problem for the Spurs. The Spurs are pretty good at matching up with, you know, whatever teams can do. And, you know, they'll still be able to bring Boris Diaw off the bench. And it's going to be the new and improved, more aggressive Boris Diaw, who's taken at least 7 shots in 7 of 8 games so far.
Yeah, Boris is the man, isn't he? He's doing well. The other guy that's hot as a firecracker right now is Danny Green. He got a lot of wide open looks, and when he gets a lot of wide open looks at the three, he is going to nail them, and he is really coming along. So who do you like in this game, Aaron? You obviously like San Antonio, right?
Obviously, I like San Antonio. I mean, the thing about Bradley Beal and John Wall, they've been great on offense, but on the other end of the floor, they've been pretty much a sieve. And it's kind of surprising because this was actually one of the better teams in the league defensively last year, but maybe the difference from going from Emeka Okafor to Marcin Gortat has kind of hurt them inside.
Yeah, probably so. You know what? I like Washington. I like how quick they are. I think it's going to be a lot closer than some people think. But I suppose if I were a gambling man, which I guess I am, I would have to take the Spurs in this one too, because they're just too deep, I think, for Washington. Although I think Washington will give them a game, because like you've been saying, John Wall and Bradley Beal are both exciting to watch. There's no question.
One thing you have to look out for is for Washington is fatigue is going to be an issue because they've played their last two games, went to overtime, and they are going to be playing at Dallas the day before while Spurs, you know, are going to have that day off.
Okay. And I'll counter with that by saying that they're young and they probably don't know any better. We'll have to see. New York travels to Atlanta. That should be interesting. New York is in trouble.
New York, I know you're a Knicks fan, so I don't want to hurt you too bad, but
well, you won't hurt me because I'm not that type of fan. I don't get hurt by my teams.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it because
I don't play for them.
Well, that's good to hear because they've kind of been like the worst team in basketball the last couple days.
Okay, well, if you read my blog, you'd already know that. No, really, I'm very, very critical of my teams, and they are. They're playing horribly. They're not the worst team. Utah's probably the worst, but yeah, they're in trouble. You know, the problem they have is they're not very deep. At the five spot, they're not very deep. They're deep other places. The problem is they just don't care. That's what it is, really. I have this bad feeling that, or I should say I have a good feeling, and I hope and pray every day. In fact, tomorrow morning I will light a candle at St. Spiridon's Church that James Dolan fires Mike Woodson and trades Carmelo Anthony. But that's neither here nor there. What do you like about Atlanta? Atlanta's a puzzle to me. I don't know what to expect from Atlanta sometimes. What do you like about the Atlanta Hawks so far?
Well, first of all, I think James Dolan should fire James Dolan, but that's neither here nor there. But as far as the Hawks go, you know, right away, Paul Millsap and Al Horford have, you know, formed really an excellent partnership together. They're both, you know, over 23 in player efficiency rating. They're, you know, they're both off to like really career highs collectively, and Atlanta, which has been kind of like a stat offensive team, especially in the Josh Smith years, now they're quietly fifth in offensive efficiency as a team. Jeff Teague is second in the league in 10 assists a game, 10 assists a night, right behind Chris Paul, and obviously Kyle Korver. I mean, he's ridiculous right now. He's shooting 56% from 3-point land. So offensively, there's a lot to like for Atlanta, even though they're not like the quote-unquote exciting team.
There is a lot to like. You know, the one thing about Atlanta, though, is they're awful when it comes to defending the three. And Andrea Barnani should probably have a pretty good night shooting that tray against Atlanta, down in Atlanta. Carmelo Anthony, you know, I've said this many times this season already, is I think he's probably – if he decides to give up basketball, he can get a job with the Bricklayers Union because that young fella has qualified for his card this season because he's done nothing but shoot bricks. They're awful. But, you know, the problem is that they have no one to stop Al Horford, and that's going to be very difficult. I don't look for a very close matchup really here. But I also like Jeff Teague a lot, man. Ooh. Like him and Paul Millsap, he's still trying to find his way with that team. When he does, and that's a playoff team. That's a fourth or fifth seed right there. Knicks, they're in big trouble. Big trouble. Yeah. I would say they're going to lose this one by 10 or 15.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Hawks are in position to play volleyball above the rim in that game. I mean, nobody in the Knicks can get a rebound. You've got Amare and Martin combining for like 4 rebounds in 21 minutes. You have Bargnani giving you 2 rebounds and, you know, 24 minutes. Who's going to get a rebound with Chandler out? I think Chandler is the one guy on that team they could not afford to ever be injured, even more than Carmelo.
You know what? It was odd. It's odd kind of that you say that because last season when Carmelo was out and Tyson Chandler was out, the Knicks went on a 13-0 spurt toward the end of the season. But, yeah, they really depend on Tyson Chandler. He hasn't really gotten it done this season either, but his boards that he was getting is a lot better than what they're going to have now. They really need to step up, and I don't see anyone stepping up. Forget about Amari Stoudemire. He's just, I don't know, he should have done the right thing and retired. Kenyon Martin is another one. Who knows what they're going to do with him? They have no one to stop this team. They have no one to stop an aggressive big. And that's the problem here. And that's why they're going to get probably blown out. Although, if you're a fantasy player, Andrea Barnani is probably going to hit about 5 threes against this team.
Yeah, he's probably going to give up about 30 on the other end.
Well, that's okay, because it doesn't matter. Defensive statistics don't count in fantasy basketball, Aaron.
That's true.
So it's all good in the hood. But anyway, we'll both agree that Atlanta will bomb the New York Knicks, and that's kind of hard for me to say. I don't like to see them lose, but sheesh. You never know, though. Who knows with that bunch of bums? Maybe this will be Mike Woodson's last game.
Wishful thinking.
Oh, no, I think he's gone. I think it'll be this week.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. When you start calling player-only meetings, you know who called that meeting, right?
I'm guessing Carmelo.
Yeah, Carmelo's the coach of that basketball team and always has been. That's why Mike D'Antoni's not there any longer, because D'Antoni wasn't going to allow that. Mike Woodson allows Carmelo Anthony to coach the team because Mike Woodson likes his paycheck. But now, whew, bye-bye. Anyway, we got other games to talk about besides those bums from New York, who are still the best team in New York City, by the way.
Anyhow,
Milwaukee travels to Orlando. That should be an interesting matchup. What do you like about this matchup?
Oh, God, it's just a brutal schedule for Milwaukee. I mean, they're at Miami, then they're going to Orlando, then they have at Indiana, and then they're going to home to face the Thunder. So good luck with that four-game stretch. But it's not much to like about Milwaukee outside of Zaza Pachulia and O.J. Mayo. They've both been playing surprisingly well, but they've lost Larry Sanders for 6 weeks with a thumb ligament injury. They're the second-worst rebounding team in the league to your Knicks. And right now, they still haven't gotten Brandon Knight back to full health, so they're having to make do with Nate Walters at their starting point guard. So there's not much to like about Milwaukee. And as far as Orlando goes, the guy I love is Nikola Vucevic. 16-12, he had a 30-20 game against the Clips. I mean, this guy is like the most underrated center in the league, and I'm really hoping he makes an all-star game the way he's going. And outside of him, the guy that's also been really big surprise for them is Aaron Aflalo. Maybe the drafting of Victor Oladipo is lighting a fire under him, who knows? But the guy is playing like a star right now, 25-5. Shooting 46% from three, he's been their best player.
Yeah, yes. You know what? Back to Milwaukee, though. Ersan Ilyasova, he's not even going on the trip. So they're in big trouble, Milwaukee. You know, and Zaza Pachulia, he's injured as well. He's got discomfort in his right foot. This is a banged-up team. Larry Sanders needs to learn how to throw a punch with his left hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much start to power there with Milwaukee. They need to lose about 75 games and get like a real score because they're in trouble.
Well, I'll tell you what, Aaron. There's a young fella from Greece. They call him the Greek freak, which isn't a very nice – it's not complimentary. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is a very, very interesting player. He's going to get some opportunities probably to play now since everybody else is out. O.J. Mayo's all right, too. You know, O.J. Mayo's enjoying himself in Milwaukee right now, and why wouldn't he? You know, he gets to pretty much do whatever he wishes, and that's always a beautiful thing. You know, there's another young fella down there. This is a team that's going to be okay, Aaron. Maybe not this year, but next season they might be all right. Nate Walters has had a very, very good opening couple of weeks. He's a nice kid to watch. So there is some hope. In Milwaukee, they're going to have to part ways with Larry Sanders. He's just out there somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but goodness. And then you've got Orlando who, you know, we talked about this on yesterday's show. These are guys who fight. They don't stop. There's no quitting them. They're a lot of fun to watch. This could be a very interesting basketball game in terms of just – sitting back and drinking a couple brews because you never know what's going to happen. But go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, with Orlando, it's you really don't know what you're going to get from them because this is a team that's already beaten Brooklyn and the Clippers. Then they've lost twice to the Celtics, so go figure. I mean, I think they could be a dark horse playoff team if they get Tobias Harris back and, you know, they get some more scoring from the bench. But, I mean, they're a young team. Obviously, they still, you know, need a star point guard, and you know, Jameel Nelson's not that guy, and you know, so people are thinking, oh, they're gonna tank and you know, draft a point guard, and you know, that's their missing piece. But I think they have enough talent on hand to make a playoffs if they really want to go after it, and it's just a matter of if they get anything from the bench, and if Oladipo comes on. Right now, he's kind of had a little slow start. You know, 12-3-3, not bad. You know, giving you he's leading the team in steals. But I don't think he's been quite as explosive as I thought he'd be coming off the bat. But, you know, Aflalo is more than made up for it, for that, really.
Well, he has. You know, he's also coming off the bench. He's only averaging 25 minutes a game. So, you know, there's pluses there for him. He's going to be okay, though. But I was really surprised that they put him at the two. I thought for sure they'd have him working the point more. But Jameer Nelson has had another one of those years where you just go, yep, this guy still got a little bit left. He really loves playing in Orlando, and apparently Orlando loves him as well. I like Aflalo myself. I think he's probably really strong. But, you know, with him, can he do this over the entire season? But can he do this against Milwaukee tonight? Absolutely. Will he do it tonight? Who knows? But like I said, this is going to be a fun game to watch. Break out the popcorn, drink a couple beers, and enjoy an interesting basketball game. Because that's what you're going to get there. An interesting game. No question about that. Now, there is another team here, I guess, out of New York. The New Jersey Nets are traveling to Sacramento. New Jersey boasts actually two legendary Boston Celtics people. And if you read my blog on Tuesday, you know what I think about these two fellas, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. But they're traveling to Sacramento to take on one of the most up and down NBA players I've ever seen in DeMarcus Cousins. What do you like about this matchup?
Well, it's kind of funny. You keep calling them the New Jersey Nets. I think maybe that's the problem for Kevin Garnett. I think maybe he's still in New Jersey and he's wondering where the rest of the team is because he hasn't shown up yet this year. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. He's shooting 32%. I mean, is it time to ask? Maybe Kevin Garnett's done. And besides that, I think Deron Williams, he's a little too tentative right now. He's got a couple of new toys to play with, I guess. And you know, Paul Pierce and Garnett, even though Garnett's giving him nothing. And I think Deron Williams hasn't taken ownership of that team on offense yet. And right now, nobody besides Brook Lopez is really doing much for them. And the real surprising thing about Brooklyn is they just haven't been as solid defensively as I thought they would be. I thought this would be one of the best defensive teams in the league. And so far, they've been middle of the pack there. And they've lost a couple of really winnable games. I mean, I thought they would kind of struggle a little bit off the you know, just to get familiarity with everybody, but I didn't think they would be this bad.
I did. And you remember that too, don't you?
Yeah, well, I still think you're biased.
I'm not biased. I don't like them. It doesn't matter. You know something? You can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. They're still the New Jersey Nets. They've left their fan base. Their fan base is in New Jersey. They don't have a fan base in Brooklyn. They have what they have in Brooklyn are New York Knicks fans who want to take their kids to an extra game, and they have some kid young people from Brooklyn because they're Jay-Z fans. But Garnett will be fine. Don't worry about him. He's not done by any stretch of the imagination. You're dealing with guys like Joe Johnson and Deron Williams who aren't traditional defensive players. That's the problem. But Sacramento is awful.
Yes.
I mean, even the New Jersey Nets will probably come in there off the road and blast them. There's no question about that. This isn't even a game I would want to even watch. But one that I am interested in is the Cleveland traveling to Minnesota game. The Cavs and the Timberwolves in Minnesota. What do you like about that matchup?
What I like is Kevin Love, who, you know, maybe he's gotten lost a little bit beneath Paul George's shadow, but this guy is in the early running for MVP the way he's playing. I mean, 26, 15, and 5? That's ridiculous. So, I mean, he's all the way back from after missing almost entire season last year with his hand injuries. Kevin Martin's been an excellent addition, 24 points a night, way better than he did in Oklahoma City last year, shooting 56% from three. He still doesn't give you any defense whatsoever, but, you know, you take that, you know, you'll take that 24 points. And Rubio is giving you a 9-9, you know, and offensively they're one of the best teams in the league. The problem for them is their defense is just mediocre. They don't have much rim protection between Love and their center over there. And you know, they need to get a little bit more scoring. You know, from the point guard position, obviously, from the power forward, from the center position, and their bench is giving them nothing. I think that's really their main problem for the Wolves is their bench has been awful. And as far as the Cavs go, this might be the worst offensive team in the league right now. Irving has been almost, you know, abysmal, except for that one game winner he had against Philadelphia the other night. Waiters has been disappointing, you know, 40%. And Varejao hasn't rebounded much. That first overall pick, Anthony Bennett, started 1-for-21. And the only bright spot for the Cavs so far has been Tristan Thompson. So, yeah, I think I don't know if this will be a compelling game. The first time they played already in Cleveland, Cleveland did pull it out by 1 point. I think this time around, Minnesota's going to win it fairly comfortably.
I think Minnesota's okay. I'm somewhere between like and love when it comes to Kevin Love, though. I'm not a big fan. Or Mike Love or Dennis Love or whoever he is. I am not a fan at all of him. Kevin Love, yes, whatever. But needless to say, Ricky Rubio is the straw that stirs that drink still. And he's had himself a pretty interesting season so far. He can't shoot at all, but he doesn't really need to. You know, he runs the show and Love does all the rest. And that's a good thing. Kevin Martin is starting. That's the whole thing, too. He's happy there. He wasn't happy in Oklahoma City riding the pine, and who can blame him? Cleveland? Cleveland's going to be okay. You know, Andrew Bynum is not making a trip, so that's fair enough. And Tristan Thompson, yeah, Tristan Thompson's done a good job. The problem is you know what? They don't know who's going to play the five. Is it going to be Henry Sims? Is it going to be Ty Zeller? Who knows with that bunch? Kyrie Irving's going to be all right, too. He's a little bumblebee. He'll be fine. Deion Waiters, once he gets that three cranking, he's going to be okay. But I'm going to go with Minnesota in this game.
So you don't like the 26, 15, and 5 from Kevin Love?
I don't like him.
I don't like him.
No, I don't care what he scores. He's one of those new breed young fellas who only think of themselves. And honestly, I hope they trade him to L.A. so I can scorn them even further.
Well, yeah, I think his future has either Lakers or Clippers written all over it, one or the other.
Yeah, it'll be the Lakers. He can play with me, myself, and Melo next season because I'm sure Kevin Love is going to work a trade out. Anyway, we got about 2 minutes to go. We've got one more game to cover. Phoenix, the surprise team, Phoenix Suns, and the Portland Trail Blazers. Quickly, what do you like about this one in Portland, Aaron?
What I like is Markieff Morris. I think this guy has been the surprise of the league. I mean, he's come out of complete obscurity. He's giving you 17 points and 7 rebounds a night. I think his brother has been fairly decent, too, his twin brother Marcus. And between the two of them, the Suns all of a sudden have, like, a decent power forward that nobody expected them to have. And then Eric Bledsoe has been sensational since coming over from the Clips. I think right now you could argue that the Suns have won that trade the way Bledsoe is playing. He's giving you 21 points and 7 assists. And the team hasn't really missed the injury of Goran Dragic at all. And even Gerald Green, he's been a cast off for so many teams, and he's shooting the ball really well from three-point land and throwing out a couple of dunks every night. So all of a sudden, the Suns have a decent offense where nobody expected them to, and defensively they've been very competitive.
Yep, they sure have. And Miles Plumlee is another one that you can watch. He is definitely a high flyer. He's blocking shots. He leads them in rebounds. He's pretty tough. Portland is LaMarcus Aldridge country. Damian Lillard, still fantastic. Nicholas Batum, if you're a fantasy player, he goes straight across the board on you. I'm going to go with Portland in this one, though. I don't think that Phoenix is going to have enough to deal with the more aggressive Portland Trailblazers.
I think I'm going to pick an upset for Phoenix just because I don't like the way Portland defends the interior. They did come away with a home-and-home sweep of the Kings the other day, a couple days ago, but they gave up 68 points combined to Boogie Cousins in those two games. So I think the Morris brothers and Plumlee might go to work on them a little bit inside. I just don't like how Portland defends the interior.
Fair enough. Great job tonight. Thank you so much for being on the show, Aaron. We'll see you next week.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yep. That was Aaron Stampler. You can find him at poundingtherock.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Bill Nason Show. I want to thank my guests, Zeb Benbrook and Aaron Stampler, for making this an amazing hour of nothing but basketball previews. Tomorrow night, we're going to do Hot Stove Baseball with Alex Hall and Mark Berman. Until then, you all take care of yourselves and be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.